We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, final part of today's show. Buy, sell, or hold. This is a segment of the show. It's our new Wednesday segment. It's going to be this way for the rest of until I change it, but it's going to be this way for a while. I shouldn't say forever because we may change things up, but this is our new end of Wednesday segment. And where members of the Irish Breakdown Premium Board, the Champions Lounge, the boards.irishbreakdown.com, get to submit buy, sell, or hold propositions. And so you can do it a lot of different ways. You can say, you can give a statement, you buy, sell, or hold it. There was a unique way. Somebody had something in there before that I haven't ever seen, but he said that's how he always sees it, and he presented that way. But it's not so much a question. It's not a mailbag question. Hey, Brian, who do you think Notre Dame is going to get at receiver? It's more of a Notre Dame will land this guy and that guy at receiver, buy, sell, or hold that. And so it's just a different way for us to engage in discussion. And it's kind of fun. And I got this idea from a show that I watch. It's actually a political show that I watch where once a week they'll do the buy, sell, or hold segment. And I was like, well, that's kind of fun. I think we could do something like that at Notre Dame. And so far it's been great. And so these are going to be buy, sell, or hold propositions that were provided by IB members. And that's who we're always going to respond to on those. I do have a couple super chats that we'll get to at the end of the show. Actually, a couple of that I'll just bring up now here real quick. One from Iden Benami. Everyone, support IB. Join the boards. Least we can do. I appreciate that, Iden, very, very much. And then Lucky Ducks, after my rant, he said, that was the best, Brian, go Irish. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Appreciate that very, very much. I was actually not planning on being that fired up, but just kind of does it for me sometimes. So let's dive into the buy, sell, or hold. We're going to start off with Christopher Crosby. He says LSU has made significant changes to their defensive staff. A lot of those hires I liked, but however, buy, sell, or hold, those hires will not be enough for them to make the playoff this season. I'm going to buy that because you're basically saying as good as those hires were, that it's not going to be enough to make the playoff this season. And I tend to agree with that. I think LSU is going to have a shot to make the college football playoff. I do. I like this LSU team. Nuss Meyer's gets a little bit too much hype from some circles, but I do think he's a good player. I think their offensive line is going to be very good this year. No, they don't have the same receiving core as last year, but it's still going to be good. Their running back room is good. They've got a rising sophomore that I like a lot. I think it'd be a good player. I think their offense is still going to be pretty good. I don't think it's going to be what it was, but I think it's going to be pretty good. And the defense is going to be better. However, I'm buying what you're saying because I don't think their defense will be good enough to go out there and win a champion or to make the playoff. Now, I think you're going to see probably four SEC teams make the playoff this year would be my guess. And if I had to predict right now, I would go with Georgia. I would go with Bama. I would go with Ole Miss. And then that fourth is going to be Texas, I believe. But so LSU's in competition with them. They're in competition with Oklahoma. They're in competition potentially with a team like Texas A&M if they're able to kind of grow up quick, and maybe even Tennessee. So the SEC's going to be pretty good this year. I will say this, LSU does have a favorable schedule. But when I think of their defense, I just don't know if it's going to be enough to win. But I do think, like I said, let's go with their schedule real quick. They play USC in Las Vegas. I like LSU in that one. They play Nichols the next week at home. They should be 2-0 there. They play at South Carolina. Should be a win. I think South Carolina is going to have a chance to be a decent team this year if they get their quarterback situation figured out. But that should be a win for LSU. They play UCLA at home. Should be a win. They play South Alabama at home. So they should start off 5-0 going to their bowl week. A couple of those tough games. I could see USC beating them, but right now I'm picking LSU. Now this is going to tell us kind of how things go the rest of the way, is what they do next, because their schedule the rest of the way is not quite as easy. And so you look at the next game, they play Ole Miss at home. That's going to be a battle. I like Ole Miss a lot this year. Now, who knows what Lane Kiffin's going to do this year? Can he, he's been so up and down, great year one year, down the next, great, then down. Can he have back-to-back good years? Don't know. He's never done it before. But I like their talent. I like Jackson Dart at quarterback. They've got a lot of skill talent on offense. They got rid of one of their headaches. They landed some big-time talent through the portal. Now, will those guys be happy? Will they be content? Will they play hard? Will they have the championship mindset? That I don't know. So the Ole Miss game at home is going to be a battle, and I think Ole Miss is going to want a little payback from this last season. They play at Arkansas on paper. That should be a win for LSU. But for whatever reason, Arkansas has given LSU a tough game the last 2 years. They played at Arkansas 2 years ago, and LSU won 13-10, and that was with Arkansas being down to their third-string quarterback by the end of the game. So, that's just a team that gives them a tough time. They played them again this year, and LSU beat Arkansas 35-31, and it was a game that Arkansas tied with 5 minutes left, and LSU needed to kick a field goal to win it. So it wasn't like a situation where LSU was winning big and then Arkansas came back and made it close. Arkansas had a lead at halftime. Arkansas was winning 13-3 when they scored a touchdown with 48 seconds left in the half, but LSU came back and scored a three-play touchdown drive to make it 13-10. Whatever reason, Arkansas has just played LSU tough the last couple of years. So I don't think that's a given. That'll be a tough game. Then they go to Texas A&M the next week, which I've said this before on this show. I would much rather play Texas A&M in the opener than in October, November. So you got to go to Kyle Field. Then you get a bye. Then you have Alabama at home. That's going to be a tough game. Brian Kelly has a win over Alabama at home. So you should like LSU in that game. But I think Alabama is going to be a much better than people think this year. Play at Florida, home against Vanderbilt, and then home against Oklahoma. If Ole Miss, at Arkansas, at A&M, home against Bama, at Florida, home against Texas. That's six of their last game. Six of their last seven games. If they can go 5-2 down that stretch, then I think they have a shot to make the playoff. They could potentially have to play in an SEC title game, but I think 10-2 in that stretch could get them in. If they lose to USC, I think it's going to be almost impossible for them to get in. So I'm buying that they won't make it, but I do think their schedule's set up enough to where they do have an outside shot at getting in, because I do like this LSU roster in certain areas. But I think at the end of the day, the lack of their secondary is just a problem, and their D-line's not great, even with good coaching. I just don't see them going 5-2 during that stretch. I think a couple of those teams, I think Oklahoma can beat them. I'm not saying they will, but they can. I think Arkansas can beat them. Not saying they will, but they can. I think Ole Miss can beat them. I think Bama can beat them. I think USC can beat them. And so I don't have LSU as a playoff team right now, but I do think they're going to be a good team this year. I could see them being a 10-3 again this year like they have been in past years. So that's the first submission. I'll try to rock and roll through some of these a little bit more.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Darvis, my man, buy, sell, or hold, what Joel Klatt said, that one of the following is going to win the national championship this coming season. He lists Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, or Texas. I'm gonna hold on that simply because I haven't really gone through and kind of picked my rankings for the top teams. But I'll say this. I don't think he's out of his mind for having those be that be his top four teams. I'm not as high on Oregon as other people are. That's the one team that makes me want to sell this a little bit, to be honest with you. Because I'm taking the buy, sell, or hold as the entire list, not a team in there. I would not have Oregon in there. If he were to say Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, you know, that's a little bit more believable. But there's a lot of teams in there that still have a lot to prove. I don't know that Ryan Day has proven anything to make us think that he can go win a championship. I don't know that Oregon hasn't done anything to think that they could go win a championship, and neither has Texas. So I'm going to hold because there's too many teams that still have a lot to prove. Everybody's jumping on the Texas bandwagon, and I understand it. Remember, I liked Texas last year. If you guys remember going back to last year, I was one of the people that thought Texas had a chance to be a lot better last year, and they were. And so I understand the Texas love, but like Steve Sarkisian's had 1 year in his entire career of almost 10 years as head coach now of 10 or more wins. So I don't think he should be in this automatic, okay, yeah, Texas has arrived situation that they can go and win 3 or 4 games in the postseason to win a championship. I don't know that they're there yet, but I do really like what Coach Sarkisian's doing. Georgia's the one on there I'd say I feel good about. I actually will have Ohio State in my final four, my top four coming into the season, But I still, you know, Ryan Day to me has to show me a whole lot. So there's a couple other teams, you know, that I could say, if you're going to put Texas in there, why not put Ole Miss in there? Why not put, you know, Alabama in there? I mean, guys, everybody's dismissing Alabama. Why? That team is still loaded. Well, they don't have Nick Saban. Okay. They have a guy now that beat Texas in the playoffs last year with Washington's roster. Why should we not assume – why is everybody assuming Bama is going to be like this four-loss team this year? I do not quite understand that. And I think it's – a lot of people just don't know who Kalen DeBoer is, and they only think, like, we had that one great magical year at Washington. This guy's won everywhere. This guy won at Indiana as the OC. This guy won at – has multiple national championships as a head coach in the NAIA level, won at Fresno State, and won – took over a Washington, went 4-8, and led them to, what, 25 wins in 2 years? Alabama should be on this list. So you know what? I'm not holding it. I'm selling it because I can't justify having Oregon and Texas on this list and not Alabama. You say, well, Texas beat Alabama last year. Yeah, they beat Nick Saban in Alabama last year. They lost to Kalen DeBoer, who's now the head coach at Alabama. So I'm going to sell that one right now. I'm fine with Texas being on it. I'm fine with Georgia being on it. I'm fine with Ohio State being on it. I can't justify having Oregon on there over Alabama. I just can't. So I'm selling that one. Good question. Made me think. Whenever I have to kind of like talk myself into or out of something, those are the questions I like because I got to really think it through. I very much like that. Thank you. Irish BH70 had a couple of them. Buy, sell, or hold. Micah Gilbert earns a starting spot by week 3 and goes for 40 catches, 650 yards, and 5 touchdowns by the end of the year. I'm going to sell that. I could see Micah Gilbert stepping into the starting lineup. That wouldn't shock me. I mean, he ended the spring basically as the number one X. I mean, let's not forget that. So I think that part of it I'm totally on board with. But even if he starts in the boundary, I'm not sure he gets to quite those numbers. If he does start, I think there's still going to be a rotation with Bo and Deion or Jaden. I don't know that he'll get to 650. You know, I could see him getting to 40 catches. I can't see him getting to 40 catches and 650. I just, I like Micah Gilbert a lot, but 40 catches and 16.3 yards per catch is basically what he'd have to get to. I didn't do that math in my head. I'm not that good at math, so I did have my calculator out. I think if he's at 400, he's probably closer to 14 yards a catch, 15 yards a catch, would you get him under 650. So I'm going to sell that one, but I do think Micah Gilbert's going to help Notre Dame this year. And the next buy, sell, or hold, and this is from Irish BH70, if Riley Leonard stays healthy all year, he finishes with at least 3,500 total yards and 38 touchdowns. This is one of the easiest buys on the board for me because he's already basically done this at Duke. I mean, so you're telling me if he stays healthy at Notre Dame, and let's just 13 games, so let's not even count getting four games in the post. Let's say through the first postseason game, these are the numbers. That's an easy buy for me. Because in 2022, in 13 games, Riley Leonard accounted for 3,666 yards and 33 touchdowns at Duke. So he was already over in yards and pretty close in touchdowns. So I'm buying that he'll have at least 3,500 yards and 38 total touchdowns. I think he'll get more passing touchdowns at Notre Dame, and I don't think the rushing touchdowns are going to take that much of a dip. Because even if he's not running as much, he's still going to be a really good red zone weapon as a runner on read zones and sprint outs and draws and scrambles, and then also on some design quarterback runs against teams that are overplaying some of the movement. So, yeah, if he's healthy, and I appreciate you putting that caveat in there, if he's healthy, I'm buying that's his production for next season. Puerto Rico ND Fan 1, Jadarian Price, buy, sell, or hold. Jadarian Price ends the season with more rushing yards and carries than Jeremiah Love. I could see that. I'll buy that because I could see it happening. I don't know that I'd predict it. I've said before, if I was to make a prediction today, I'd say I'd probably go with Jadarian Price having slightly more carries and Jeremiah Love having slightly more yards, similar to what we saw in 2022, where Audric Estime had 9 fewer carries than Logan Diggs, but had about 80 more yards than Logan Diggs. I could absolutely see a scenario where Jadarian Price has more carries and yards. I think Jadarian Price is excellent, and I could easily see that one happening. Now, what I would say is, if I was predicting today, I would predict that Jadarian Price leads the team in carries and rushing yards, And Jeremiah Love leads the team in touches and total yards. That's what I could see. Because I could see, you know, Jadarian having like 180 carries. And, you know, actually, let's kind of map that out numbers-wise. So if Jadarian's got, let's say Jadarian has 165 carries and he averages 6.2 yards per carry. That's 160 carries for about 1,000 yards, okay? I could see that. And then let's say that Jeremiah Love has 140 carries at, let's say, 6.5 yards a carry. That would put him at around 910 yards. And so Jadarian leads the team in touches and or rushes and yards. But then Jadarian catches 15 passes for 180 yards, and Jeremiah Love catches 30 passes for 400 yards. And so he has more catches and he has more yards total, more touches and yards total. That's how I could see it on that one. So yeah, I'm going to go with that way. I love Jeremiah Love and I think he's a special player and he's going to be so much fun to watch. My only thing. So when I say this, this in no way at all takes away from how good I think Jeremiah Love is. I am so happy he's in Notre Dame. He is going to be a dude. My only thing is I think a lot of Notre Dame fans are sleeping on how good Jadarian Price is going to be. Also, not instead of or in spite of, also. We're going to see games next year that look just like the bowl game where Jadarian rushes for 100 yards and Jeremiah has a catching touchdown. We're also going to see games where Jeremiah is the carrying the load, and it's going to be fun to watch. Irish Eagle 90, buy, sell, or hold. Notre Dame will have over 5,800 yards of offense. The defense will give up less than 275 yards per game. That is, so 275 yards per game, that would mean they do better than they did this past year where they allowed 276. I'm gonna definitely buy the yards. 5,800 yards in 13 games is, so let's say you said over, so let's say they have 5,801 yards in 13 games. That's 446 yards per game. That should definitely be attainable. I also want to say this. Whenever I get a number like this, just so you guys understand how I see it in my head, I'm only counting the 13 games. I'm only counting the regular season and the first postseason game because, you know, if teams play two, three, four games in the postseason, they're going to blow past a lot of numbers from the past. So to me, when I'm thinking about this number, I'm more looking at it for, you know, the 12 plus one. So in the 12 plus one scenario, I am going to buy the yards of total offense. Defense, so that would require a slight improvement. You know what? That's tough. Here's why I'm going to sell this one. Because I think the defense is going to be slightly over 275. And I think they're going to be sub 300. But here's what I think is going to happen. I do think Notre Dame's going to have a lot more traditional blowouts this year. Because if you look at last year's schedule and you look at some of the blowouts that Notre Dame had, they were late blowouts. They were games where it was a lot closer than it should have been early. And so you weren't able to get quite as many backups in the game as you would have ideally liked. They were able to get a lot of those guys in the game against Tennessee State Navy. But if you look at some of the other blowouts, like NC State, for example, that was a 21-point win, but it was a 24-17 game going into the fourth quarter. Notre Dame scored two touchdowns in the last 5 minutes to really kind of actually two touchdowns in the last basically 10 minutes to really break that one open. And then NC State scored last. So you did get some backups on the field for like the last series, but you know, this year, I think you're going to see, you know, USC was a game where your starters didn't really come off the field to the last drive. You know, Pitt was another game where you didn't get quite as many, the backups in quite as early. Cause it was only 17-0 at the end of the first half. So you got backups in, but a little bit later. I think this year you're going to see a lot of games where it's over by halftime. And when you have those games where it's over by halftime, you're usually going to give up a few more yards in the second half because you've pulled all your starters. That's kind of what I think is going to happen. So I don't think it's going to be a lot more. I think it's going to be less yards per play. I think they're going to have a better yards per play average because I think they're going to be better against the run this year. I think they're going to create more negatives this year, but I think you're going to see some garbage yards put on at the end of games that are going to lead to them giving up like 280 to 282 on defense. So I'm going to sell that one. I'm going to buy the offensive one. I'm going to sell the defensive one. So yeah, it's I think those numbers are good markers to kind of work with too, because it's right on the verge of where I think they'll be in both areas this season. Hey, I'm very curious too, because I'm not seeing a lot of this in the chat. I'll just tell you guys something I get. I hope y'all are enjoying the show. Can I tell you something that I enjoy when we're doing this show? I like to hear what you guys think about these as well in the chat. I really do. I like to kind of see what you guys think about some of these. Are you buying these? Are you selling these? So I'm very curious about those as well. So I'd love to see those responses from you guys. Salty Virginia Peanuts, my man. Jaden. So I do this kind of on purpose. Salty, he always calls him the great one, but I always change it to Jaden Greathouse just to kind of have some fun with Salty. So Salty says, Jaden Greathouse will score a touchdown in 8-plus games and multiple touchdowns in 4-plus games, receiving, running, and or passing. So I'm going to take that one, and then I'll get to part two. So Jaden Greathouse will score a touchdown in 8-plus games this season. I'm going to buy that because I'm counting. Yeah, I think I'm counting that because he had – was it last year? Before the injury last season, he was already kind of on that pace last year before he got injured. He led the team in touchdowns last year. He had 5, and he scored a touchdown in 2 of the first 3 games before he got a little bit banged up. So 8-plus games. I'm going to buy the first one. I'm going to sell the second one. I think I'm going to buy that he'll have 8 touchdowns. I'll have a touchdown in 8 or more games. I'm buying that. I'm selling that he'll have 4 or more games of 2 touchdowns or more. That I'm going to sell. If this is a buy, and I'll go with this because the first one is a buy, then for a second buy, sell, or hold, add 1-plus game-winning touchdowns in the playoff. I'm going to sell that. And here's why I'm going to sell that, Salty. And I think you're actually going to like, you're not going to like the answer, but you're going to understand the reasoning. The reason I'm going to sell Jaden Greathouse being the guy that gets the game-winning touchdown in the playoff, and why by game-winning, I don't mean he scores the touchdown that puts them ahead in the second quarter, and that we count as the game winner because they never trail again. When I think game winner, I think fourth quarter, it's the score that puts them over the top and wins the game, even if you have to make a defensive stop or whatever. So I'm going to sell that because to me, when I look at this team, by the time you get to the playoff, the other teams are going to know that's their dude. Jaden Greathouse is their dude. When it's money time, that's their guy. And for me as an offensive coach, that's in those moments, those game-winning moments, that's where I'm going to use that against you because you're going to say, hey, we're going to, you know, like, you look at like, you know, Michael Jordan, some of the biggest, you know, Jordan made tons of game-winning shots in his career, but there's always those big moments where he's kicking the ball out to John Paxson or Steve Kerr for a win. Well, why? Because he knew the entire defense is going to collapse on me, and that's going to take advantage, that's going to open up somebody else. So in those moments, I think what we're going to see is they're going to know this team is going to do this against Jaden in this moment. And so we're going to motion Jaden in a way that attracts their attention and then allows us to use that double coverage to bang a post route over the top to Chris Mitchell. Or we're going to run a, you know, you take, we know that they're prepared for our slot fade. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Jaden run the slot fade. We know they're going to take the safety out. I'm going to motion my Z, you know, on the opposite, or my X on the opposite side, or Z on the opposite side, bring him on an over and essentially run a high low backside because I know we're going to take that safety out with the front side safety that's going to cover Jaden Greathouse, or it could be the backside safety, depending on your formation. And we know we're going to get a clear behind that, and that's the game winner because they're overplaying Jaden Greathouse because he's our guy. And I could see something like that, or you run a concept and it's the tight end that gets open. So it's kind of like if you think of the 2000 and I'm trying to think of the game it was, but it was 2022 South Carolina, and Braden Lindsay was the dude in that game. Braden Lindsay and Jaden Greathouse were just the guys in the pass game for Notre Dame that day. But who was it that made the game winner? It was Mitchell Evans. They used action to those guys to then set up Mitchell Evans sneaking to the backside. Something like that to me, I think would be the game winner for me. So I'm going to sell that, but I'm selling that because everyone's going to know Jade's the dude. He's that guy, and the defense is going to be prepared to stop him, which is going to then allow them to go out and have success, get somebody else open in that game winner. So that's why I'm selling that one as well. So hopefully, Salty, you'll understand why I sold two of those. I expect Jaden Greathouse to be very, very good this year, but I think there's going to come a time when everybody else knows it too, and that's going to create opportunities for other guys to have some big moments because teams are playing him.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's keep rocking and rolling. Jay Saxton, 1980, had two of them. First one, buy, sell, or hold. Notre Dame will have 3 to 4 All-Americans on both sides of the ball. Okay, I wasn't quite sure how you were asking this question, so I'm going to actually do a buy, sell, or hold for the two ways it could mean. Number one, if you're saying buy, sell, or hold that Notre Dame will have 3 to 4 All-Americans on each side of the ball, so 3 or 4 on offense and 3 or 4 on defense, I'm going to sell that. Because I don't think that they'll have that on both sides of the ball. I don't think it's unheard of. If we're talking like first or second team All-Americans, I could see a scenario where Mitchell Evans is an All-American and, you know, one other guy becomes a second or third team All-American. But I have a hard time seeing the offense get to 3 or 4 All-Americans on offense. Defensively, I have no problem buying this. If we're talking about the defense, I'll buy the defense, sell the offense. Because defensively, I mean, you already have 3 coming back. I mean, Benjamin Morrison was a freshman All-American. He'll be a preseason All-American. Howard Cross was a second-team All-American last year. Xavier Watts was an All-American last year. So minimum 3, potentially 4. I could see offenses putting so much attention on stopping Howard that Riley Mills is the All-American this year. And then also Riley has more success. I could see several scenarios where Notre Dame gets – I'll be shocked if Notre Dame doesn't have 3 All-Americans on defense. Shocked. Offensively, I'm having a tougher time seeing that one. Because here's partly why. I think the offense this year, and I think you guys have been able to pick up on this when I've been breaking down like running back and wide receivers and stuff. I think this offense is going to be more about the sum of the parts rather than like a guy carrying the team like a Michael Floyd 2011 or a Will Fuller 2015. I think it's going to be more of a – you know, spread the wealth type of team, and that's what's going to make them so good on offense. If you mean 3 or 4 All-Americans from both sides of the ball, that's an easy buy for me. I think Notre Dame will definitely have 4 All-Americans this year. Will it, you know, so that's the other way I could have taken it. Buy, sell, or hold, Notre Dame will have 3 to 4 All-Americans total from both sides of the ball. I could take that one. And somebody said Evans, Love, and Leonard, those are the best chances, right? I don't necessarily believe that those are the best chances because I think Jeremiah Love's not going to have enough total touches to be an All-American. You know, these guys that carry the ball 250 times, you know, maybe Love could be that way. But I think you're going to have 2 running backs, and it's going to make it harder for one of them to get All-American honors. I think Riley Leonard's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in college football next year. There's no doubt. But will he have the numbers to get an All-American list? That's a different conversation because a lot of that stuff is driven by numbers. And then with Mitchell Evans, he's probably the best bet. I would say Mitchell Evans is of those 3 is probably the best bet, but I could see a Jagasaw, a Billy Shrouth, an Ashton Craig kind of breaking out, having an All-American year. I could see, you know, I mean, look, I could see one of the running backs doing it, Andrew. I could, I just, right now, I'm just not, I'm not willing to predict it to the point I'm going to buy it now. I would need to see it. I just think there's going to be too much spreading of the wealth on offense this year for anyone to earn All-American honors this season. Buy, sell, or hold from Jay Saxon, 1980. Riley Leonard will be invited to New York and be a finalist for the Heisman. and Leonard will win either the Davey O'Brien or Heisman or both. I'm selling those. I could see Riley Leonard being Heisman finalist. If Riley Leonard repeats his 2022 season, he'll have better numbers than Jalen Milroe did, and I could see him, Notre Dame will be very good, and I could see him being a Heisman finalist. I don't think he'll win the Davey O'Brien Award in either situation, and I don't know that, and I'm not predicting he's going to win the Heisman. I mean, that would be the most hyped up, like, homer type of thing I could do. I need to see that he's healthy first. Is that capable of happening? Sure, it's capable of happening, but I can't go there. I got to sell that one. Because, yes, while it's an option, there's a lot he has to prove. There's a lot his teammates have to prove before I can feel good about Riley Leonard being that kind of player. So, yes, he's capable of it, but I'm just not going there right now. I'm not going there right now. Buy, sell, or hold from Iden Benami. Josh Burnham will have a breakout season and end the season as the starting Viper. I'm selling that one as a whole because I don't think he'll end the season as a Viper because I don't see them moving him to Viper during the season, or at least they'd have to do. I wouldn't shock me if they did it, Iden, because I could see a scenario where I would think in your scenario that RJ Oben and Bryce Young are doing great at end and the Vipers are struggling and they move Josh over to Viper. I could see that happening, but I don't know that they want that to happen. So for now, I'm going to sell that being that's the thing I'm selling on. Josh Burnham having a breakout season, if you just would have ended it there, I'm buying that. I think Josh Burnham's going to be very good this season. I see him having, you know, 4 or 5 sacks and 4 or 5 more tackles for loss and just being a really, really good player from during the season. And then to where we're talking about, boy, next year with him and Bryce Young as a 1-2 punch at big end, boy, whew, that's going to be dynamic. Next one from Iden, buy, sell, or hold. I know sacks aren't the end-all be-all, but our D-line will have 10-plus more sacks than last year. I'll buy that. And there was a one that I did not pull up, but there was one that somebody had, and I don't think I have it here, where they talked about the sacks will come because of the coverage. And I could buy that. I think the coverage is going to lead to more sacks. I do believe that. But I also think the defensive line is going to be better at getting sacks this year. I think the linebackers are a little bit longer and more athletic. I think Jalen C is going to add a little bit more sack production. I think you're going to see a little bit more sack production from, you know, guys like Jack Kaiser and Drake Bowen than what we saw from Maris and JD, who got a lot of pressures on the quarterback, but they didn't finish a lot of those pressures with sacks. And I think we'll see a little bit more of that this year. I think we'll see more sacks from Riley Mills and Howard Cross this season as well. I really do. Because part of that too is I do think Notre Dame's going to be better stopping the run this year. I do. I think they'll give up a few big plays here and there because they're young, you know, at linebacker and some safety spots. But I think overall they're going to be much more effective against the run, which is going to force teams into more third and definite pass situations. And then it also goes back to what I said earlier, which was I think this team is going to have more true blowouts. And when you have more true blowouts, you force teams into we're throwing the ball every down mode, which is then going to result in more sacks. The other part of that is in some of those true blowouts, you're going to give up some plays because you've got young guys on the field. But I can also see Bryce Young. I can see Boubacar Traore. I can see Kingston. I can see some of those younger players, Kahano Kia, getting on the field and getting sacks in those games as well, which is then going to up your sack total. And not Kahano Kia and those guys are linebackers, but you get the point that I'm making. I could see some of those younger players getting on the field late, and because they're so talented but young and buried on a deep depth chart, that they're eating up that other team's second-team offensive line and getting more sacks. And that adds to, at the end of the year, where you're at. And then last one, buy, sell, or hold. Sean Terry will be our best ready-to-play wide receiver in the 2025 class. I am going to sell that. DCLTJ says, buy, sell, or hold. BK will retire from LSU and not fired from LSU. I agree. I don't know that he'll retire. He'll either retire or leave for another job. But I do not believe Brian Kelly will be fired. Look, I have my issues with Brian Kelly. You all know that. I ranted about Brian Kelly. But I had a buddy of mine that a couple years ago when Brian Kelly was hired said he's going to get fired within 3 years. And I said, I just don't see it. Because for all my issues with Brian Kelly and the things he won't do to take the team to the next level, he's still a good football coach. He's still a guy that's going to win 9-10 games a year on a relatively regular basis. He's not going to have a lot of disaster seasons. Like, I don't see him you know, having a 4-8 at LSU. I just don't see that. I like some of the hires he had. Look, we'd all enjoy that, I'm sure, but I just don't see it. I'm buying that he'll retire or move on before he gets fired. I don't know that I see Brian Kelly getting fired. I think he's too good of a coach for that. I don't think he's a good enough coach to win a title, but I think he's too good of a coach to get fired. I don't see that. DMND13, my man, he had a couple of these. I'm going to get to these buy, sell, or holds. Buy, sell, or hold, there will be at least two games this year in which Riley Leonard does not take a snap in the second half thanks to a Notre Dame blowout. I'm going to sell that, but I hope it's a buy. And the reason I'm going to sell that is because teams tend to, even when they're blowing a team out, still tend to put their first team on the field at the start of a second half. We still tend to see that. You know, I think to this year against Tennessee State, for example, where Notre Dame had a 35-0 lead at the end of the first half, and Notre Dame went out and put their backup quarterback in the game. And he played the whole second half. Well, and then they brought in Kenny Minchie. So, like, you have that scenario where you're beating an FCS team 35-3 and you put your backup quarterback in. But more often than not, when you have a big lead, you tend to put your starting quarterback in for at least a series of the second half. So I'm going to sell that. But if this offense is as good as I hope it can be, I won't be shocked if I'm wrong on that. Because I think your premise is that you think that will happen. And I won't be shocked if you're right, but I'm going to sell that because it'd have to be like a 35-0, you know. And the other thing too is two of the games that I could see that happening with are very early in the season: Northern Illinois, potentially Miami of Ohio, and then maybe Stanford in game 6. My question would be: is that too early to have your new quarterback who missed all of spring come out? I could see maybe them saying, hey, let's get another series or so with Riley just to get him some burn where we can have him throw the ball. No runs, no scrambles, but just let him get some more work throwing the ball. I could maybe see that too. So I'm going to sell that, but I don't feel great about selling it. Like I kind of, as soon as I say sell, I just feel like, you know, he may be right on this one, but I'm going to sell it for now. And then the second one was after Notre Dame's indoor facility and the Goog renovations are completed, Notre Dame's facilities will be top 5 in the country. Well, number one, they're not doing Goog renovations. They're building a brand new facility that's going to be in between the Goog and the indoor facility. So that's going to be a little bit different. But once those are completed, will Notre Dame be in the top 5 in facilities? I'm going to hold on that. And here's why I'm holding on that. Because I'm not quite sure that some of the things that I've been told are accurate about what's going to be in there. If some of the things that I'm being told are going to be in there, then I'm going to buy that. Because the indoor facility at Notre Dame is excellent. It's a very good indoor facility. And the stadium facilities are excellent now. The recruiting area in the stadium is really good. The locker room is awesome for Notre Dame. There's a lot of things that they've got 3 practice fields. There's a lot of really good facilities going on. The Goog has been the holdup. If you build this brand new, almost $200 million facility that has the stuff in it that I'm hearing it's going to have in it, then yeah, they're going to have top 5 facilities. Because I think some of you that want to sell it, I would imagine some of you are thinking like, well, this team has an arcade, this team has a slide. That ultimately isn't really what kids care about. It's about top 5 facilities in. You have state-of-the-art stuff. You have state-of-the-art equipment, state-of-the-art, you know, chambers that kids land and recover, and state-of-the-art virtual reality and film breakdowns and all that stuff that I believe Notre Dame's going to have in there. And then, of course, you have the new facilities where they're going to be able to eat. So I'm going to say absolutely, because, and somebody asked, do facilities matter as much in the NFL world? 100% they do. Because as fans, when we think facilities, we think, ooh, it looks cool. Ooh, it has an arcade. Most players, when they think of facilities, they look at the things that are practical to allowing them to then go be successful. So when they see some team with this really cool chamber that they can lay in and helps their body recover, that matters to them a lot more than this other team having a slide or an indoor pool or, you know, an arcade. Most kids that are smart aren't making decisions based on that. Having a virtual reality room where I can go in there and kind of pop in some film and get some sort of look, or pop in this AI thing where I can kind of get some kind of look about what it's going to look like, and I can step and I can work on this and I can read a defense, those type of things, these things that I can go lay in that are going to help my body recover faster, having state-of-the-art equipment, having state-of-the-art nutrition area, those things are what most kids that you want and need at a place like Notre Dame are going to care about. Those are things that kids that George is recruiting to win championships with care about. Those are things that the kids that are going to Ohio State to try to win a championship care about. The kids that are just looking for payouts and have fun and all that, that's not what most kids are. That's what fans think that they are, but that's not what most kids care about. They care about the practical stuff, and I think Notre Dame's going to have state-of-the-art stuff if what I'm hearing is true. Now, again, I'm holding because I don't know that that's true. But if it is true, then it would. If I knew for a fact that those things were true, then I'd buy the heck out of that because their facility is going to be excellent when they get the new building built. T-NAC, Beisler Hold, Notre Dame's best and has quotes, MVP, will come from the offensive side of the ball this year. Well, I will say this. If Riley Leonard is healthy for an entire year, then I would buy that. Yes, I would buy that. Because I think at the end of the year, if Notre Dame's the team I think they're going to be, the defense is going to keep doing what they're doing, and you can make a case for Benjamin Morrison or Xavier Watts or Howard Cross or Riley Mills or somebody like that. But I think at the end of the day, if we're talking about MVP, it's going to be the guy behind center that takes his team to another level. So that's where I got to go. Because, again, what does MVP stand for? It's not most outstanding. It's not best player. It's most valuable player. And if you have a top-level quarterback, that's going to be more valuable to your team than having the best D-tackle or the best corner or the best safety. That's the difference. If Riley Leonard is as good as we hope he can be, then he will be the most valuable. Will he be the highest drafted? Will he be the best? Will he be the most outstanding? That's not what the question says. The question says value, MVP, valuable. And to me, if you have a top quarterback and a top cornerback or a top D tackle or a top safety or a top wide receiver, the quarterback will always be more valuable in that circumstance. So I'm going to buy that. Definitely going to buy that. D Troll Hunter, buy, sell, or hold. Neither Texas or Tennessee make the playoffs, or as some might say, both UTs. Neither Texas or Tennessee make the playoff. I'm going to sell that because I think Texas makes the playoff. I do. I think Texas is going to be a playoff team this year. I like Texas. Do I think they're a title contender? No, I'm not ready to go there. But do I think they're going to make a 12-team playoff? Yeah, I think they're going to make a 12-team playoff. I do. I'm going to buy that one. I mean, I'm going to sell that one. I don't think Tennessee's going to make it. And if Texas has a slip-up this year, then obviously neither will make it. I do think I am looking forward to seeing what Tennessee does this year. That's a very weird team for me. They had some guys leave to jump in the portal to go get paydays that they could have really used. And so that hurts their roster from a talent standpoint. But then you could look at it and say, but those guys weren't bought in to what they were trying to do. So, you know, additions by some, that's a compelling argument to make as well. It's all going to hang on Nico's right shoulder. And that's really what it comes down to. If Nico can make a grow up quickly, then Tennessee will have a shot to be a playoff team. They will. I like what Josh Heupel's doing, but he's got to show me they can finish. I mean, they were on the verge of doing that 2 years ago, and then they just completely fell apart at the end of the year. So I'm not going to buy Tennessee being a playoff team until they show it, but they'll have a chance. I mean, they'll have a chance. So, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, 2 years ago, I mean, they might have had a shot. They might have had a shot, but I think that blowout loss to South Carolina might have knocked them out. But I do like Texas. As far as being one of the top 12, yeah, I like Texas being one of the top 12. So I'm gonna sell that one. Joshua Nipp, 4 Notre Dame players, including the quarterback, will rush for over 600 yards this season. I'm going to sell that because I think it'll be 3. I don't see – now, the caveat would be is if somebody gets hurt. So let's say Jeremiah Love has – or Jadarian Price have 600 yards through 8 games. They go down and miss the next 5. Could Jabron Payne or Keaton Young or Aeneas Williams step in and get for over 600 more? Absolutely. But I don't think it'll get to 4. I think it'll be 3. So I'm going to sell that one. Chuck's Fupa, you are given 3 options, and you can tag one for each category. So buy, sell, or hold. Texas A&M, Florida State, USC. That's a good one because that's 3 teams that I actually like. So buy, sell, or hold. I'm going to buy for 2024, I'm going to buy Florida State. I think Florida State's a lot better than what people think. I'm going to sell Texas A&M because I think Mike Elko is going to establish a good foundation this year. They're going to have some good wins. They're going to have a couple losses that you're like, yeah, that's a team that's still learning losses. So I'm going to sell them of these three, and then I'm going to put a hold on USC because USC could go one of two directions. I could see USC getting a lot better on defense with Deonton Lynn, who did a great job at USC or UCLA last year. And here's why I say great job, because you say, well, you know, it's a little different animal at USC. It kind of is. I mean, they had some pretty good, you know, players. We saw the Latu kid get picked in the first round. Does USC have that kind of guy on the edge? They might have that kind of guy up the middle. But my thing is they're still going to have a lot of talent. But when you look at UCLA, in 2022, before Deonton Lynn got there, they gave up 29 points a game and 403.8 yards per game and 5.6 yards per play. In his first year, they dropped all the way down to 18 points a game, dropped all the way down to 101.5 yards per game. That's over 100 yards per game drop and only gave up 4.6 yards per play. And that's with a very mediocre offense last year. You look at USC this past year, USC gave up 34.4 points per game, which is terrible. They gave up 432.8 yards per game, 6.1 yards per play. So if he has a similar improvement at USC, then they'll go and give up about 23, 24 points a game. That's not great, but that's a lot better where they could still go out and outscore people just because the scheme, and they do have some players. So I could see USC being that type of team that goes out there and wins 10 games. But I could also see USC falling apart. And the reason I could see USC falling apart is because I still have questions about whether or not you can buy a team the way that USC is trying to buy a team and not build through the culture of high school recruiting and development. I still have major concerns if that can be successful. And then when you combine that with their schedule – and the fact that I think they have some system quarterbacks, but no quarterbacks that can carry the team the way that Caleb Williams had to carry them, Jalen Hurts had to carry them, Kyler Murray had to carry them, Baker Mayfield had to carry them. Those things all combined to make me think I could also see USC falling apart. Because if there's buy-in on this football team, then this team could be very good. But if there's not complete buy-in, They could basically give up by the end of September. I mean, this is their schedule. They play LSU in Las Vegas. I said earlier that I think LSU is going to win that one. Then they play home against Utah State. Then they have a bye week. And then this is where it gets, okay, what kind of team are they going to be? They play at Michigan on September 21st. Then they play Wisconsin at home, at Minnesota, Penn State at home, at Maryland, home against Rutgers, at Washington. That's a tough stretch. There's at least four teams on that slate that could beat them, at least four. I think Michigan could beat them. I think Wisconsin could beat them. I think Penn State could beat them. And then I think Washington could beat them. And then you could even argue maybe Maryland could beat them at Maryland. I'm not predicting it, but they got some athletes too. I'm not saying all those teams will beat them. I think USC can also beat all of those teams as well. But USC playing the way they did anything like last year can lose to a lot of those teams. And then they have another bye. And out of that bye, they play home against Nebraska, which is going to be a much improved team, at UCLA, and then home against Notre Dame. So I could see a scenario where USC shocks everybody and goes 9-3 or 10-2. And I could see a scenario where USC 6-6 and people are saying, this ain't going to work with Lane Kiffin or Lincoln Riley, I mean. So it all depends on, is Deonton Lynn as good as I think he's going to be there? And can they figure out a quarterback? Those are my questions. And so I'm holding USC because I don't know which direction they're going to go. And if you were to tell me you're selling on USC for those reasons, I'd say, okay, I get that. But I'm going to hold on USC for now. We've got Ball Peen Shillelagh. Somebody told me I was mispronouncing it incorrectly. Got three from him. And so first one, buy, sell, or hold. Notre Dame special teams takes at least two kick returns to the house in 2024. I'm going to buy that, but not confidently. If you were to tell me it's punting and kicking, like meaning two types of kicks, then I definitely would buy that because I could see them taking a punt back. But I'm going to buy that. I'm going to be optimistic on special teams and buy that. Buy, sell, or hold. The Nurem defense achieves more sacks in 2024 than last season, caused by a noticeable increase in quarterback pressures. I'm going to buy that. And then the last one, Boubacar Traore starts over Jordan Patel Viper no later than the Louisville game. I'm going to sell that. I don't think there's any need to rush Boubacar into the starting lineup. I think what you would see by Louisville, if Jordan Patelho is kind of the same guy he was last year, what you'll see is he may still start, but Boubacar States starts taking more and more of the snaps, and then Boubacar's in there later in money downs. But I still don't know if Boubacar's ready to be the guy every snap. He's still too inconsistent. I still think there's merit to, even if Jordan Patelho just repeats what he was last year, of having Boubacar still come off the bench for at least the beginning of the year. So I'm going to sell that. But I think, because you said starter, if you're going to say he's your best Viper by Louisville game, I'd be more prone to buy that one. I would. Those are good ones. Tatted up Irishman. Buy, sell, or hold. Mike Denbrock will use four receivers on the field at the same time, more than he will use 13 personnel with three true tight ends. I'm selling that. I do think they'll use some 10 personnel, which is four receivers, but I am completely selling that they're going to use it more than 13 personnel. Because you got to understand, when Notre Dame gets inside the 5 or 10-yard line, they're going to go to 13 personnel. There's going to be plenty of snaps where Notre Dame's going to line up on third and one, second and short, third and, you know, fourth and inches, and they're going to go 13 personnel. So I'm going to sell that one. I'm not saying they're going to use 13 personnel as much as they have in the past. I hope that they don't. But actually, I kind of hope that they do, because that means they're in goal line situations a lot this year. They'll be a lot more 11 and a lot more 20 and 21, I think, than there'll be 10 personnel, in my view. So I'm going to sell that. His next one, buy, sell, or hold. Jordan Faison will get the fourth most snaps at wide receiver this season. I'll buy that. Fourth or better. I'll buy that. Yeah. I mean, because I think Jaden Greathouse will get more. I think Chris Mitchell will get more. After that, I could start slotting in Jordan Faison right there, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm definitely buying that. I'd be actually honestly surprised if he isn't in the top four in snaps this season. Be a little surprised by that. I think that might be the last one. Let me look. That was the last one. So, everybody, that's going to do it for today's show. I actually had one more super chat before we get out of here. My man, Rob Osgood with a super chat. Thank you, Rob. He says, guys, what does Notre Dame need to do in the passing game to rid itself of the stigma of they only run the ball and no one respects our wide receivers? Thank you. Well, I mean, we talked a lot about that during the show, Rob, and his super chat was up before the show, before we got to that part. So I think I answered some of that, Rob. Number one is the receivers have to be more fundamentally sound. They have to play with more fire. You know, I use the word urgency a lot. We need to see a lot more of that. They need to be more competitive when the ball's in the air, and it's just overall being coached up effectively. And then the quarterback's got to put them in position to make plays and be successful. That didn't always happen in the past. And so it really comes down to having a group of receivers that know how to play the game, that, you know, hiring an offensive coordinator that has a system that can get the most out of them helps. And they did that. Having a quarterback that is impactful can help. And I think they have that. Now it's up to you guys to put in the work from a technique standpoint, change the mentality in the room to where there's more of a thirst for, I want to dominate, play with more urgency, and be more competitive when the football's in the air. Those are all areas where if they can play well in those areas, then the answer to your question will be right there. They will be more impactful. They will throw the ball more effectively. I don't know that I care about them throwing the ball more. I mean, you can throw the ball the same amount you did last year, but ramp up the yards per attempt and yards per completion. And I'm thrilled with that. You know, you didn't throw the ball a ton last year. I mean, so they'll throw it more than they did last year. Let me just look at the numbers, and I'll give you an example of what I could see changing this year. So last year, Notre Dame threw the ball 351 times. And when you look at LSU last season in the same amount of games, LSU last season threw the ball 411 times. That's not a huge gap. That's only 60 more passes in the course of a season. The difference was, however, LSU completed 286 of those passes and Notre Dame completed only 227. So they completed passes at a 5% rate higher, which means more yards. That's also going to mean more yards per attempt. They were at 10.7, Notre Dame is 9.1, and then they were a better big play offense last year, especially in some of the bigger moments. You know, so if you look at Notre Dame had a 14.1 yards per completion average, which was actually one of their better in a while. I mean, they were 12.8 the year before that, 12.7 the year before that, 12.3, 13.0, 12.5, 12.8, 13.6, 14.0. So even higher than the 2014 unit. So, I mean, you'd have to go back quite a long time, well before Brian Kelly's day, that Notre Dame averaged more than 14.1. Actually, no, I'm sorry. 2013, they were 14.7. So you got to go back to 2013 to find a year where Notre Dame had a better yards per catch average than last year. But LSU was at 15.4. So what I want to see is more efficient pass game, ups the yards per attempt, ups the yards per catch, doesn't necessarily ramp the attempts up by 100, right? Give me probably about 30 more attempts than last year. Give me about a 4 to 5%, I don't know if it'd be 4 to 5, about a 2 to 3% higher completion rate and more yards after the catch. I'm going to have a breakdown here at some point in time. I don't know if it'll be this week's inside the numbers, but at some point in time this summer, one of my inside the numbers is going to look at Notre Dame's yards after the catch and the where that's lacking compared to some of the other better offenses. And so that's going to be something too, but I think they have players that are more effective to do that this year. So I'll dive into all those type of things here as we get off season. But those are all areas, Rob, where I think they've got to get better if they're gonna do what you're asking to do. So that's gonna do it, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. I will talk to you guys again very soon. We have a Ivy Nation Sports Talk tonight. I'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock to have another show. I have more stuff to talk about, more stuff to break down. I will have an inside the numbers and a little look around college football. We'll have some college football topics tomorrow as well. If you guys have any things you'd like to hear me talk about, go ahead and throw those on the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com, and I will take some of those into consideration. I know there's a thread we had a few weeks ago with a lot of really good college football topics, so I check that out, and I'll look at that for some different ideas. So we're going to have some fun things to talk about. And then, of course, Friday, we have the Friday mailbag. So the Friday free-for-all is back. So you're going to want to check that out as well. Hit that like, hit that subscribe, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review, and, of course, show your support for Irish Breakdown by heading over to boards.irishbreakdown.com and signing up for our website, signing up for our premium message board. Go to the merch store, buy merch, leave a donation. All those things are things you can do to support what we're doing at Irish Breakdown, and I would greatly appreciate all of it. Have an awesome rest of your day, everybody, and I'll talk to you all soon on the Irish Breakdown podcast.